Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mary Start, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party. We have all kinds of things that we could talk about today with Mary, the first of which is as follows. What is going on with this Michael Bray case, Mary, as it involves not only abortion but Planned Parenthood, but the whole question of the limits of the toleration of the federal government for certain types of anti-abortion activism. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. It's nice to be back. I'm good.
Good. What, Mary, you, of course, are a what I would term, I guess, a mainstream pro-life activist. You're on the board of directors of at least one pro-life ministry, if I'm recalling this correctly. And, of course, the Constitution Party is a pro-life political party that stands for the protection of all human life. What is your take on this Michael and Jane Bray case that's cropped up again in Wilmington, Ohio?
Well, I'm not really up to speed on it to the degree that you are, but let me give you a little background. Having lived in Portland, Oregon for a number of years, the case that got a lot of prominence basically had to do with pro-life activists who were picketing clinics, who were very involved with, anything more than lip service than the regular pro-life groups do. We call them like, we've got the right to life. It's more like right to fundraise. These groups just sell out the pro-life issue every time they can. But there are those activists that get into this and really mean it. And they wind up losing their, many cases, their livelihoods. Planned Parenthood is not happy just to sue and wind up with a court order against them picketing a clinic or shutting down a website, which is what they did in the Portland, Oregon case. But in this particular case, what they did was Planned Parenthood went after these people individually, attached to their finances. They couldn't make any money because if they did work, they wound up having to pay enormous judgments, millions and millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood. So here's the well-funded Planned Parenthood going after these little pro-life activists, making their lives miserable. These people go to jail. These people wind up being penniless. No one will hire them. They're branded crackpots and lunatics. And as with Michael Bray, went to prison for a number of years and had a family to support. But this is what happens with the abortion lobby and the pro-aborts. They will stop at nothing to silence the true pro-lifers. They will stop at nothing. They will take their money, and they will make sure that they go to prison.
Yeah, and as I'm reading through a little bit of this news release, the book that he wrote, it's entitled A Time to Kill. I've not read it, by the way. It's described here in this news release as an ethical treatise on the use of force in defense of the child in the womb. The book was cited as a cause to include Bray as a defendant in the $1.4 billion Planned Parenthood complaint filed against him and 12 other defendants in the U.S. District Court of Oregon in the fall of 1995. That complaint is entitled Planned Parenthood versus American Coalition of Life Activists. In regard to this book, Mary, have you read it?
No, I have not.
No, I have not either, and I have to confess that over the air. I do not have a copy even in front of me to consult. But in regard to this whole thing with Bray, what is this American Coalition of Life Activists organization? Do you know much about it?
I don't even know if they're still in existence, to be honest, Mark. They were a coalition of pro-life groups.
Yes. We'll be back with Mary Start. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity, where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Sometimes I think life is just a rodeo. The trick is to ride, make it to the fair.
We're back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mary Starrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party. We've started out this morning on the show talking about a couple of news items. One has been this Michael Bray case, where apparently in the last several days, going back, I guess, to the 1st of October, federal marshals and sheriff's deputies stormed into the home of Michael and Jane Bray in Wilmington, Ohio. Did so in conjunction with some Planned Parenthood attorneys. For the next 5 hours, the authorities confiscated computers, books, and unknown personal items. The Brays have been ordered to leave their home within 30 days. Michael Bray is the author of A Time to Kill, an ethical treatise on the use of force in defense of the child in the womb. I have not read the book. This book, however, has been cited as a cause to include Bray as a defendant in the $1.4 billion Planned Parenthood complaint entitled Planned Parenthood versus American Coalition of Life Activists. This complaint was filed against Bray and 12 other defendants in the U.S. District Court of Oregon in the fall of 1995. One can look at the details of some of this by going to Mr. Bray's homepage, which can be found at www.michaelbray.org. Mary, in regard to this whole issue of abortion then, how prominent a role will this issue play, in your judgment, in the 2008 elections? And to what extent will the Constitution Party really be emphasizing this one in the next go-around?
As much as we always have, and that is that it is the it is definitely the number one issue. It's the litmus test for candidates. And the encouraging thing is that this we've got national media attention, ABC, NBC, CBS, The New York Times, talking about a meeting that happened in Salt Lake City last Saturday where Jim Dobson was there and Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council and Richard Viguerie, who wrote Conservatives Betrayed. They all got together at the Council for National Policy and talked about the possibility of going with a third-party candidate if Rudy Giuliani got the Republican nomination. Now, this is something that a lot of Americans have gotten behind over the last few years as they have jumped ship from the Republican Party. So to see these conservative leaders, these nationally prominent conservative leaders say, listen, we're not going to get it from the Republican Party. We've got this screaming pro-abort who they're telling us is the front runner. We're going elsewhere. So we had our national committee chairman, Jim Clymer, there talking to them about what has to happen. That means we need to be on the ballot in all the states, so we need to have the funding to do that. And we need to be able to field a candidate that will give people an alternative to holding their nose and voting yet again for a pro-abort Republican.
Well, that raises a number of questions. In the case of Dobson and some of these other religious right leaders, there are, of course, a series of deviations that the Bush administration has engaged in from classic conservative public policy and from a traditional conservative point of view when it comes to the Constitution. But it does seem from reading some of these news releases on this Council for National Policy meeting out there in Utah that abortion would be the thing that would be the straw that breaks the camel's back in terms of a final schism between the so-called religious right on the one hand and the Rockefeller-Bush wing of the Republican Party on the other.
Well, we would hope so, but look at, Mark, how many years that the conservatives, the Christian right, has basically taken crumbs from the table of the GOP just to have a seat at the table. We've had the ability to make sure that abortion was not the law of the land, but we didn't do it as Republicans, and they made a concerted effort not to do it. Here's an event going on in Portland, Oregon this weekend, which is a case in point. It's being sponsored by Pfizer. It's a Republican leadership conference. It's being sponsored by Pfizer, the maker of one of the abortion pills. And it's being and the person who's speaking there is a former Senator John Minnis, who used to be a police officer, who we have videotape of during the course of his police activities escorting 13-year-old girls through picket lines, pro-life picket lines, into abortion clinics in Portland, Oregon. These are the people the Republican Party in Oregon and around the country are championing. And when you have Pfizer underwriting these quote-unquote conservative pro-life Republican events, it's really time to rethink just how much of the Republican Party has sold out.
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the things that I've been doing just in recent days, Mary, I was reading an article in the Barnes Review on this whole subject of Vladimir Putin and why the mainstream media is taking the particular spin that it is on Mr. Putin. But aside from that, there was a very important fact in this Barnes Review article. It mentioned a website where people can go to research the financial trail of a lot of so-called conservative political organizations in the United States. I've just started looking into this, but it really gets back ultimately, doesn't it, to the money and power trail, because when you look at something like Pfizer, it doesn't take a real genius to figure out that a company that is promoting abortifacients and that is sponsoring Republican political events, that there's something going on there that, again, does not take rocket science to figure out. The question is how much more of this sort of thing these so-called religious right leaders are going to tolerate with the Republican Party before they finally make a break with it. And, you know, it makes me wonder. Dobson has been making a lot of noises about the Republican Party and his dissatisfaction with many things for, well, going back at least as far as, now, I think in 1996, while he would not endorse your candidate, Howard Phillips, for president, he did later grudgingly admit publicly that he had voted for Phillips. But Dobson has been sounding the alarm on certain things going on in the Republican Party for a long time, it seems to me, but has never once and for all finally said, this is it, the gloves are off, I'm telling all of my people, we're through with this thing, now, forever, we're going elsewhere. Do you think this time he's that close to making that that crossroads decision?
Certainly we can hope so. We can hope that it took him a whole lot longer than it's taken you and I and hundreds of thousands of other Americans who saw this going on decades ago, when the Barry Goldwaters and the true Republicans of the Republican Party ceased to exist. But what we've had is a bunch of pseudo-Republicans over the years. But Jim Dobson, let's face it, we're happy for anything that moves us in the direction of acknowledging the GOP is no different than the Democrats. It's one party, and they're globalists, and they have one agenda. And as far as the pharmaceutical companies, they give more money to the Republicans than they do the Democrats, so that tells you a lot. But we would hope that Jim Dobson will be moving the conservative Christian right towards something which is palatable and where they can morally vote and not have to hold their nose. But Jim Dobson and the others could stand up and say, give us Ron Paul or we take all our constituents and we walk. But they haven't done that. Why have they ignored the one candidate who would, you would think, be 100% on everything that they would believe? No, instead they're kicking and screaming about Rudy Giuliani when all they have to do is say, we want Ron Paul and we want conservative Christians to vote for him in the primary. Otherwise, we go to third party. But we're happy that they're acknowledging that the two-party system doesn't work.
Well, you know, I have to be frank with you, Mary. For me, there's a very obvious and very disturbing reason as to why Dobson and some of these other so-called religious right leaders have not taken that formal step of endorsing Ron Paul, which to me is the obvious thing to do. And that is because Ron Paul is not on board with this Middle Eastern war. And Ron Paul, frankly, is not on board with what the Israeli lobby is doing to promote America's surrogate military role in the Middle East. I think it's very clear that this is the great dividing line there, that when it comes to, again, Mr. Dobson and presumably Gary Bauer and Tony Perkins and some of these other folks, that the fact that Ron Paul is frankly not teaming up with the Zionist lobby and with the dispensationalist Christians who support the Zionist lobby, that's the basic, I think, factor that is involved in this arm's-length policy toward Dr. Paul, and I think that that's a very regrettable thing.
And the other thing is because he's against the war in Iraq, and he's the only one who is, they're looking at this and saying that, you know, again, once again, this will lead you to believe the guy's not a patriot and doesn't care about the country, but he's the only one who acknowledges that this is an unconstitutional, immoral war. And why is there no one else who has stood up? Even Hillary Clinton won't stand up and say she will get our troops back.
Well, I think, again, the fingerprints of the Israeli lobby are all over this thing. For example, I read over the air quite some time ago the speech that Hillary Clinton had delivered to the American Israel Political Action or the Political Affairs Committee, and it could very easily have been written by John Bolton. I mean, it was that militant a speech, and to me, I don't think you have to be a quote-unquote paranoid conspiracy theorist to look at the money trail and the power of the Israeli lobby in this country, and you look at Hillary Clinton and John Edwards and Barack Obama side by side and look at some of the things that they've been saying to some of these Jewish organizations, and then look at Giuliani and McCain and Romney on the other. It's pretty clear that the general orientation on this thing is entirely the same. The American Free Press had a thing on Hillary Clinton, by the way, not too long ago, just a brief paragraph in the news from the editor section, which analyzed her wealth and her investments according to these Federal Election Commission disclosure forms. She's worth approximately $50 million according to these FEC disclosure forms. And when analyzing where she is putting her money in regard to personal investments, the American Free Press listed oil, pharmaceutical companies, defense contractors, and Ms. Clinton has made an investment in Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, which owns Fox News. That should suggest to somebody that when it comes to the Israeli lobby and the war for empire, that the fix is in with all of the major candidates and that Ron Paul is the only one who stands in opposition to this whole debacle. We'll be back with Mary Starr. Yes. We'll be back with Mary Starr, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, when Mark Dankoff returns. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our very special guest today is Mary Starr, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, who hooks up live with us from the state of Oregon. By the way, Mary is going to pilot this show for a couple of episodes next week on my behalf. You're going to have Mary Starr with you for 2 hours on Wednesday and Thursday of next week in this time segment. That'll be a treat for everybody who's interested in good, solid, conservative political analysis coming from someone who, by the way, has an incredible media background. Mary Starr is a longtime radio host up in the Pacific Northwest at a station that is affiliated with the Salem Communications folks. We talked about that whole debacle earlier. But that'll be fun for the listeners of this show to have Mary with us for a couple of days running for the entire segment. That will be, I believe, on Wednesday and Thursday of this coming week. Mary, by the way, I'm looking at something. I don't think you've had a chance to see this because I have just discovered it myself. But the American Prospect has a post by Sarah Posner, and it's, among other things, it covers this so-called Council for National Policy meeting of last week that you were talking about. And, of course, Sarah Posner makes mention of the fact that the New York Times and Salon and ABC News and WorldNet Daily have all spread this story that the so-called clandestine Council for National Policy would rather get behind a third-party candidate than back current front-runner Rudolph Giuliani. Sarah Posner of the American Prospect says, a third-party Christian right candidate? Not a chance, according to Sarah Posner. And I will not go into all of the analysis on this. It's a very lengthy article. She gets into the Council for National Policy. She talks about all of the different people who have appeared at that gathering and previous ones. She talks a little bit about John Hagee and the March to World War III and the Kyle Lieberman resolution, the evangelicals in Jerusalem and the so-called International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem, evangelicals and global warming. This is a very, very interesting piece coming to us from Sarah Posner at the American Prospect. It's entitled The Fundamentalist, and I'll make sure that Mary Stard gets a copy of this, because I'm sure as a Constitution Party media person and political analyst that she will be interested in what this essay has to say. Mary, in regard to this whole business of the Council for National Policy, I know that Howard Phillips, who founded what is now the Constitution Party, has been politically linked to the Council for National Policy, which some people describe is a right-wing version of the Council on Foreign Relations of the Trilateral Commission. It is seen to be a secret clandestine organization by many. It is seen to have a significant number of people in its membership who are far more sympathetic to the Israeli lobby and to Israel than certainly I would be. In regard to the Council for National Policy, what is your understanding of this organization? I know that there's not a lot that's out there publicly on it. What is your perception of it?
You know, anytime you have a group of people who have like goals and are like-minded politically or in any other issue, and they get together and they talk, and the media is not invited, and there's some measure of power or financially successful or politically powerful people, You have the presumption that something is going on which is not above board. But I find it rather interesting that the media does not consider the Council on Foreign Relations, when they talk about them, as a clandestine group. And if anything was clandestine, it's the CFR or the Trilateral Commission. So the group that you're talking about gets together to talk about conservative issues, and because the media is not invited, lots of people are not invited. You have parties at your house and you don't invite everybody to them. Does that mean it's clandestine? No. You've got a group of people who get together to talk about policy and political strategy. There are some very powerful people. And fortunately, they're coming to the conclusion that the Republican Party is not going to do it for them anymore. And they're leaving. In fact, there was a Pew Research study that just came out the other day that talked about white evangelical Protestants. Even though they are more conservative, they are less Republican. And what this shows is that typically you've got the white evangelical Protestants who are grouped together as one group, but they divided them into younger and older ones. It seems the younger evangelicals are more conservative on the life issue than older conservative evangelicals. So this goes along with all the other studies we've seen with Rasmussen or Zogby that show that they're leaving the Republican Party, but they're not leaving the ideals that the party should have stood for, which is why they're leaving. They're going to a more conservative organization. And as we mentioned before, they can't go to the Libertarian Party because they're not pro-life and pro-secure borders, so they're going to the Constitution Party. So, yeah, this Pew study showed that very conservative younger evangelicals, more so on life issues and marriage issues than their older counterparts, but fewer of them are identifying as Republicans.
Yes, and it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of these conversations, both with the Council for National Policy as well as with the Constitution Party, because it seems to me that there are two or three goldmine issues that the real right has to offer in this next election. When we come back, I want to discuss that with you, Mary. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Mary Starrett. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Mary Starrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, who hails from the state of Oregon. Mary will be on this show, by the way, flying solo both Wednesday and Thursday of this coming week. She will be the guest host of this show for 2 hours next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, and also this coming Thursday. So I believe that's the 10th of October and the 11th of October. You'll have Mary for a total of 4 hours on those 2 days. Mary, as I get into this whole business of trying to analyze this election, it seems to me that there are a couple of things that really play into the hands of the Constitution Party. One is that the abortion and gun control issues of Giuliani in particular as the Republican candidate. He is absolute anathema to those of us on the real right in regard to both of those issues. So that does give the Constitution Party a real edge if the Republicans should go so far as to nominate someone like Giuliani. Then, of course, you deal with the economic issues. It seems to me that, just a couple of the things I was reading on the show in the first hour, Engdahl has been talking about this great biofuel fraud, talking about the implications for the availability of grain and the cost of grains worldwide as a result of this this green policy being pushed by the Bush administration when it comes to ethanol. We're reading all these stories now about the weakness of the dollar and the way in which it's prompting record foreign buyouts of U.S. companies. The illegal immigration thing plays right into the hands of the Constitution Party, it seems to me, in regard both to the economic implications of that policy as well as the cultural. And as I look at all of that in the context of globalism, I think that there is a real base of support that the Constitution Party can tap into. And the one thing that I would say about the Constitution Party is I was thinking about this last night. If I were advising you folks, which I'm not, of course, I have to emphasize that, I'm not, but as one who is certainly friendly to the Constitution Party, I say this as an encouraging thing this morning. You've got the social issues of the real right, and those are you know, what we need to emphasize, certainly. The economic issues related to the plummeting value of the dollar and to debt and to the destruction of the manufacturing sector of the economy, all of that plays into the hands of the Constitution Party. The other thing that comes into play is this war. I believe this war is unconstitutional. I think it's ill-advised. I think it's disastrous in terms of our overall policy in the Middle East as well as in foreign policy generally. Now, to me, when I put all of that together, the only party that I see that has the correct position on the social issues, the correct position on borders and immigration, the correct position on our economy, and combining that again with this issue of the war, is the Constitution Party. It's the only game in town that I see.
Well, a lot of other people are seeing that, too. Matter of fact, you were talking about Rudy's stance on issues. I've got a bumper sticker that says, Rudy and Mitt making Hillary look pro-gun. There are still going to be people who look at Rudy Giuliani, and all they're going to see is the guy who walked around the World Trade Center on September 11. They're not going to look beyond that to see just how lethal this guy could be. And there are still those.
He's a dangerous man.
Very dangerous, and his alliances with various corporations, international corporations. He's a globalist. But the thing about this is that they're all going to still follow that mantra. Well, it's going to be better than Hillary. And the fact of the matter is that on every issue, he's no different than Hillary. But people are still buying into that.
He would be worse.
Yeah.
He would be worse in my view, because at least if you had Hillary Clinton in there, as bad as she is, presumably the Republican Party would be re-energized to oppose her simply for partisan reasons, if for no other. If you get a Rockefeller Republican in office, it seems to me that you have him being very effective both with Democrats and with Rockefeller Republicans. And in a very significant sense, I think a Rockefeller Republican is more dangerous to the real right than a liberal Democrat.
I agree. Look at what happened with Bush. Have the Republicans screamed and yelled at things that if Bill Clinton tried to get away with, they never would have allowed it? But they've kept their mouths shut because he's our guy, quote unquote. But when you look at Rudy Giuliani, there's another thing, another strategy which might be in the works here, and it just occurred to me. Well, everyone's screaming and yelling about Rudy Giuliani, and wait a second, we can't have him. Don't you think what might happen is that everyone thinks he's so bad? Well, then along comes a Mitt Romney, and he kind of doesn't look quite as bad, so we'll take him and be ever so glad. But guess what? On guns, on the homosexual issue, on the life issue, on big government, this guy is really toxic, but folks are going to buy into the fact that he's not quite as bad as Rudy.
Yes, and again, it is that kind of minimalist thinking and the crumbs being dropped from the table brand of thinking that, in my judgment, has the conservative movement where it is, has the country where it is, And quite clearly this time, the real right has presumably figured out that we need to switch from a prevent defense to a positive offense, if I can borrow a football metaphor here. And this time around, I think this thing is so bad that the argument of the lesser of two evils, be it in a Republican primary or in a general election, that whole rationale is wearing thin with a lot of people who used to go for it in the past.
Well, the problem is that you've still got these old timers who think that any war that America involves itself in is a good war and my country right or wrong type of mentality. And they're the ones who might be inclined to break with the Republican Party. But because there are veterans and folks who still have that mindset, they're not going to criticize an ongoing war, which is really too bad, because if they looked at the constitutional implications of it or the fact that this war is completely and utterly immoral and there's no end in sight, they'd
be
likely
to... And who's behind
it? Say again?
And who's behind it?
Exactly. We're carrying the water for Israel.
I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah.
And to me, that is the pivotal issue of our time in regard not simply to the country as a whole, but the identity of the American right, the real American right. Now, I think virtually everyone I know in the conservative movement that has any sanity or any sense of things at all is pro-life and pro-Second Amendment. So that we have a large degree of unanimity there among people that we would even be in dialogue with. Then I think we get to this other thing that divides the Constitution Party from the Libertarian, and that's the issue of free trade and open borders. That's something, of course, that is going to have to be thrashed out in regard to what the larger American right movement should stand for. And I think clearly this free trade policy is a disaster in my view. Certainly the open borders policy is a similar disaster. So I think the Constitution Party would be saying all the right things there. On the question of this war, I think you've identified this, Mary. There is a tremendous divide between those who, for example, I think in my own family. My father's a retired Air Force colonel. He was a director of logistics for for Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi's Imperial Iranian Air Force in Iran a generation ago. He and my mother are pro-life. They are pro-Second Amendment. They are opposed to the illegal immigration movement. They are opposed to the open borders thing. And yet when it comes to this war, they are heavily influenced by the Fox News mentality. And I think on the basis of that war, would vote for Giuliani instead of Ron Paul, which absolutely sickens me, frankly. But I think that you've identified something that really has to be cleared up with the people, especially of this older generation, who with the best of intentions are pro-military, they're pro-America, as we all are, but their understanding of all of this has been deliberately twisted and perverted by an agenda that they don't understand.
Well, look back during the Vietnam War. I can remember, even though we were staunch conservatives in our family, members of the John Birch Society. My father was one of the founders of the New York State Conservative Party. And what we did was we had great hostility towards, the hippies who were demonstrating against the Vietnam War because they weren't supporting our troops. Yet in retrospect, I look at that war and see what a debacle was that. What was the purpose of that war? And yet at the time, all we did was defend our decision to go in there without really realizing what it was about.
Well, that's exactly right. And I, of course, as a young kid, was a supporter of that war. My dad was tied up with it, of course, as an Air Force colonel who was involved in the logistical end of the air war over North Vietnam, both for Johnson and for Nixon. And I look at this whole business now, and the Vietnam War looks very different to me now from what it did in the 1960s when I was a young kid. And to me, from the vantage point of Vietnam, I find it particularly disturbing that so many people whose lives were adversely touched by the Vietnam conflict have failed to utilize that as at least a partial grid of understanding. I emphasize a partial grid of understanding for what we've now gotten ourselves involved with in the Middle East.
Well, you would think they'd look at that. In fact, Bush's comment was when people were comparing what's going on in Iraq to the Vietnam War, he said, the only thing we learned from it was basically that we got out too soon. And I thought, if that's the lesson that he's trying to use to compare to Iraq, we're in big trouble.
Well, yes, and Mr. Bush, of course, has never been known for his own military service record nor his academic record at Yale. My brother's a graduate of the University of Texas Law School, and he has a son who went to Yale. So my brother is quite privy to Mr. Bush's grade point average at Yale, and also why the University of Texas Law School did not admit Mr. Bush when he attempted to apply to that school on the basis of his Yale performance. So it really is rather pathetic to me that this is the so-called lesson that the president is deriving from all of this. And again, I think it also reflects a larger division with the American right that's been out there from World War II onward, where to me, as I look at this whole business of war, I think that the American right needs to step back from this and to see that the issue is not whether or not we go to war, but whether or not we declare a war constitutionally, number one, that we adhere to the Constitution in regard to a congressional declaration of war, that it's not something that's done by executive fiat, that's number one. And number two, that when we go to war, that the American people properly understand that a legitimate war involves not an internationalist agenda, but a nationalist agenda, an America First agenda. Is this war in America's interest, or is it part of a larger internationalistic, illuminist agenda that has nothing to do with the with what our founding fathers would have thought of as a viable reason to engage in armed conflict? And that's where I think this misunderstanding has occurred with many of our conservative brethren who are with us on life. They're with us on the gun issue. They're with us on the borders. They're with us on illegal immigration. They're with us in terms of what's happened to the manufacturing sector of the economy. They're with us in terms of what we feel about private and public debt in this country. But when it comes to the war, this war as well as any other war, there is a knee-jerk brand of Americanism that I don't think stands up to close scrutiny in terms of real Americanism or constitutionalism.
Well, because people don't know that there really is a reason why the president was never given authority to declare war. People don't know enough about the Constitution to know that this is a very serious matter. And they don't realize that despite the misinformation and the disinformation, they should be outraged that American blood was spilled on a complete and utter fabricated lie which had been in the works long before 9/11. But when you bring this to their attention, they still come up with the same old line, better to fight them over there than to fight them over here. Do they not realize that because we're over there, and Dr. Paul articulated this very well, because we're over there, we are encouraging them and inciting them to come over here?
Well, that's exactly right. And, I've even had some conversations about this with some of my friends in the Iranian expatriate community in the United States. I'm speaking about people. Some of them are monarchists. Some of them are in favor of a purely secular constitutional republic in their country. None of my friends, of course, that I'm referring to are Islamic theocrats. That's the important point to make here. But, you know, many of them have been approached by leading members of the American neoconservative movement, which has tried to enlist them in an attempt to get rid of the current regime in Tehran. And when my friends have asked me about this, I've said, well, look, in the first place, I think it's abundantly clear after what happened in your country in 1953 that the decision as to what kind of a government you have and the decision regarding who runs that government should be left to the Iranian people alone, not to American corporations, not to the CIA or the British MI6, and certainly not to the Israeli Mossad. I said, number two, these American neoconservatives that are trying to appeal to your best instincts in regard to wanting to recover your country are the same group of people that have produced a disastrous result in Iraq and, if given an opportunity to do so, will destroy your country. They're even talking about using tactical nuclear weapons against your countrymen. What kind of policy is that? And then thirdly, of course, as Dr. Paul has pointed out, there's that whole issue of blowback. It makes all the sense in the world that if, you know, you've overthrown somebody else's government overtly or covertly, if you've been doing things in their part of the world that have you transgressing on their turf, quite clearly that's going to come back to bite you at a later time, and it certainly has. That Giuliani could deny the obvious character of this is, to me, completely preposterous.
Well, I just had a conversation with a man in Portland, Oregon last night who started a group with his wife called Believers Against the War. Their son is in Iraq, and they talked to him last night by phone. And what happened was, while they were talking to him, they heard machine gun fire and a bomb going off. And this young man was saying, no matter what happens, he's supposed to come home in November, I cannot go back. We will walk in, there will be 60 of us with machine guns walking into an Iraqi family, watching a grandmother sit there trembling as we haul out members of her family. He said, this is wrong. I can't go back.
Yes. We'll be back with Mary Starrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Back. And coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, I'd like to thank Mary Start, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, for being on today. She will be on this show both hours, this coming Wednesday and this coming Thursday, taking over for me as a guest host while I'm up to some things related to this No More Wars for Israel conference. By the way, here's some doublespeak for you coming to us from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. Clinton backs bill on congressional okay for Iran war. Now, Hillary Clinton, of course, signed on to the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment, which Senator Jim Webb of Virginia said was a backhanded way of giving Mr. Bush an open-ended ticket to attack Iran. Now, Ms. Clinton is signing on to legislation requiring authorization for a war against Iran. Clinton, a front-runner in the race to claim her party's presidential candidacy, announced October 1st that she would co-sponsor legislation initiated by Senator Jim Webb of Virginia that bans the use of appropriated funds for war against Iran without congressional authorization. Democrats fear that President Bush will exploit open-ended language in bills passed after the September 11th attacks and before the Iraq War to launch attacks against Iran. Clinton said in her statement, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, quote, "Any military action against Iran will have an immediate impact on our troops serving in Iraq, our allies in the region, as well as long-term U.S. strategic interests. Senator Webb's legislation ensures that Congress will play its constitutional role of providing proper oversight over the administration's policy toward Iran. Congressional oversight and debate can help avoid the mistakes and blunders that have afflicted U.S. policy in Iraq. We cannot allow recent history to repeat itself," unquote. I would say to Ms. Clinton, the Constitution of the United States already guarantees that it is Congress that must lawfully declare war. Number two, if you're that concerned about going to war with Iran without proper authorization, why did you vote for the Lieberman-Kyle rider? The last paragraph of this Jewish Telegraphic Agency article says it all. Under the urging of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, Jewish Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives successfully lobbied for the removal of similar language from the Defense Appropriations Bill earlier this year. AIPAC advocates are keeping all options on the table as a means of pressuring Iran to end its suspected nuclear weapons program. Aside from the Constitution, and Ms. Clinton, who, of course, could care less about the Constitution, does anyone really believe, given what she said to AIPAC at her last public address before that body, that she will fail either in the United States Senate or as a future American president to launch a war on Israel's behalf? She's in their back pocket, folks, just as all of the other major contenders are. Support the No More Wars for Israel conference at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. That's October 12th through the 14th in Los Angeles. This is Mark Dankos, America, signing off today from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you tomorrow.
It's true.